and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
Pull up some dust and sit down.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
Pedro Fernandez.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 35, 36, almost 37 years now of being often imitated but never duplicated. Welcome to Ring Talk. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Of course, I'm an award-winning writer, former four-time Golden Glove champion back in the days when the Golden Gloves existed. In fact, I asked somebody the other day, do the Golden Gloves even happen anymore? And they say, not really. Straight up, that was like one of the biggest things as far as amateur sports and local sports were concerned in the San Francisco Bay Area. Of course, San Francisco, St. Louis, Chicago, I believe, and New York was the original four Golden Glove cities. Of course, they expanded, and of course, it just broke apart. Bottom line is, the Golden Gloves was a building ground for a lot of professional fighters. Not for me. I mean, I wanted to be an amateur. Never wanted to be professional. But it was a building ground for a lot of professional fighters. And now we really don't have the amateur ranks that we used to have. That's why we don't see the gold medals in the United States like we had like in 1976, 1984. Of course, De La Hoya won in 92. Andre Ward in 2004. Who's won a gold medal since? Nobody. You hear that? Those crickets in the background? Those are the Americans that haven't won any medals. Straight up, boxing in the United States is not what it used to be because of the fact that there's no amateur program. If you don't teach kids from the beginning, if you don't plant this seed in them that there's boxing happening, guess what? Boxing won't happen. Then you get guys coming along late in life like Michael Grant maybe or Anthony Joshua coming along late in life and picking up boxing. They're not quite having all the necessary ingredients. Joshua, I'll get to him after the break. Bottom line is we'll bring in Aaron Snow at about 22 minutes past the hour. Of course, the Hall of Fame trainer, the man that knows boxing, no doubt about that. We'll hear from Aaron. Aaron, unplug. Aaron Snow unplugged at about 22 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, hour number two of the Sunday edition.
Here comes the decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
That's all I want to fight is serious challenges. We got respect for each other, mutual respect fighter to fighter. But when it comes down to competition, we're both beasts. We're both lions in the jungle. And the best man has to win.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Joshua looks so tired. I think he wants out.
That's it. He says that's it. Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
That was real. That was about as real as you get. I mean, this big fat guy by the name of Andy Ruiz, and people say to me, you know, you're down on fat people. No, I'm down on fat athletes, okay? In other words, you're supposed to show up in condition, okay? You're not supposed to show up like 50, 60, 70 pounds overweight, and he had to be like at least 50 or 60 pounds overweight when he stepped into the ring against Anthony Joshua for that rematch. There's just no doubt about it. He should never have been allowed in the ring. In fact, if it had been any other weight but heavyweight, he would have been unfit to fight. I mean, think about that. If you're a 130-pounder and you come in like 10 pounds overweight, you're not going to be able to fight. Well, if you're a heavyweight and you come in 60 pounds overweight, the same thing should apply. But, of course, the heavyweight division, the God's division. Everybody loves the heavyweights. Me, not so much. Anyway, Hall of Fame promoter Bob Arum says, of course, the October 17th fight that he's throwing down in the bubble. I'm talking about Teofimo Lopez, 15-0, 12 knockouts. Of course, him and his father training in New Jersey. Got a bad attitude. I like the bad attitude. Got a bad attitude. Very confident, no doubt about it. Of course, Lomachenko will be training here in the United States. He's been training in the Ukraine. And according to Bob Arum, he has his green card. So that's what the headline said. He's got his green card. So more power to him. I guess he'll be making that fight on the 17th. That is an interesting fight. I mean, when you look at it on paper, It can go either way. The 3.5 to win favorite. Larry Merchant talked about that in hour number one. Lomachenko considered invincible, of course, a two-time world amateur champion. I mean, a guy that just had it going on. He just had it going on. I mean, think about it. It's outside of the Salido fight that one night where he lost to Salido. He hasn't been touched, really, in the world of boxing except for that knockdown by Jorge Linares. Now, the question is, if Linares can knock him down, and Linares is a very light puncher who doesn't punch that fast or that hard, just happened to get one in there at a decent point of the chin on Lomachenko's chin, and he went down. It was a flash knockdown. Lomachenko got up and punished him for it. But the bottom line is, if Lopez hits you that hard, I don't think you're going to be that quickly recovering. I just don't. I think that Teofimo Lopez is a special individual. People say to me, "Oh, Pedro, you just push him because he's Latino." Listen, I'm not one of those guys who push Latinos. I've got like 23% black in me too. But I'm not pushing black guys, white guys. I push talent. In other words, you know, I look at a fight and say, these guys are going to win. I think this guy will win. This will be the reason. Anyway, bottom line is, last night, of course, the 130-pound championship of the World Boxing Organization was on the line. Jamel Herring, of course, the champion now. What is he, 22-2? Was a disqualification winner over Jonathan Oquendo from Puerto Rico. Oquendo kept butting him, and the bottom line is it was not so good of a fight. Jesse Rodriguez, 109 pounds, knocked out a guy by the name of Januel Rivera, I think, who once challenged for a 108-pound championship one time in his career. It's time for him to give it up. I saw him get knocked down, that third knockdown. I think it was the third knockdown. One of the ugliest knockdowns I've ever seen in my life. I mean, that was like frightening, absolutely frightening. Jared Anderson, heavyweight of note, now 6-0 with six stops, should be ashamed of fighting Rodney Hernandez. You want to talk about stiff? You want to talk about bum? I'm sorry, bro, and you're a Latino dude. Your name is Hernandez. My name is Fernandez. But, man, you shamed me last night. Nobody walks into the ring that fat. Nobody walks into the ring with a gut hanging out and no definition, that kind of good stuff, unless you're in there to just lose. And that's what you were there for, to just lose. I understand that. But don't put marks on television, Bob Arum. Don't put this crap on TV. Don't sit us down in front of our ESPN Plus app and we watch a show. We got to watch a guy like Rodney Hernandez, who weighed 255 pounds. And had Rodney been in shape, he would have been 160 pounder. Rodney is one of those Mexican middleweights. You know what I'm talking about? Now, that's what a Mexican heavyweight is, a fat middleweight. And that's what Rodney Hernandez was last night. DeAndre Smith was the winner at 147. Not all that impressed. What can I say? People think he's the real deal. I don't think he's the real deal. We'll see what happens as far as his weight class is concerned. 147 pounds. Danny Garcia going to challenge, of course. Man, going to challenge Errol Spence. Of course, Errol Spence is a guy that got into that car accident, flipped out of that car 105 miles an hour. I tried to get Scott Cuddy to fight with Errol Spence. He wouldn't take it. I tried to get the fight with Errol Spence. He wouldn't take me. Anyway, he ends up taking him. Danny Garcia. Danny Garcia, a former junior welterweight champion, a guy that's very light as far as a big-time puncher is concerned. So Danny Garcia and Errol Spence, we'll see what Errol's like when they hook it up on pay-per-view. But is that a pay-per-view fight? Would you spend $80 to watch Errol Spence and Danny Garcia? Please, I'd rather steal that on the internet and watch it in Russian. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Next up, the chief second himself, Mr. Aaron Snow on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
He is Mexican. He's proud to be Mexican.
Night by night, I feel you.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
The baritone sax of the funky doctor, Stephen Mackenzie Cooper of Tower of Power, of course. Let's bring in our own Tower of Power, Mr. Hall of Fame himself, trainer Aaron Snow. Aaron, how's life treating you and the family?
Oh, brother, great. And how you doing?
I'm doing just
happy
fine.
Happy holidays to you, man.
The holidays are coming up, man. We're trying to stay safe out here as far as the virus is concerned. Of course, you know, everybody's got their own little their remedies for staying safe, and I just hope that you and the family are doing well.
Yeah, we're doing well. You know, you have to try to protect yourself at all times, as we say in boxing, and you have to watch out for the unexpected, because this is what this disease is all about. The unexpected. You don't know what you touch to get it. Most people don't. So they just say, protect yourself. And that's washing your hands and making sure that you're washing your face frequently. And when you're outside for long periods of time, you go inside, change your clothes and wash them.
Good point. Now, let's all right, now that you've given us our health update from Dr. Snow, that's Dr. Snow there coming. No. Hey, man, you listen, there aren't too many, how could I put it? I wouldn't have let you run with that if I didn't know you were the intelligent man that you were. You hear what I'm saying? So I think I appreciate that. Anyway, let's talk heavyweight.
Yeah, I appreciate that, too.
Okay.
I appreciate that, too, Pedro.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk today's heavyweights. Let's go down the number, of course. Fury, Wilder, Joshua, Tyson Fury. 30-0, one draw. He's like 32 years old. Is he the number one guy right now?
Well, yes, he's the number one guy. Him and Anthony Joshua are, you know, they're one and two, and people can try to put them to how they want them. But in the heavyweight division now, in this time, in this age, is definitely Tyson Fury, because if you remember, Klitschko was the one who was undisputed champion.
Yep.
And he was the first one to beat him out of the bunch during this coming era. Mm-hmm. And then Anthony Joshua beat him. So, you know, and everybody was thinking about that punch that Dante Wilder had. And Tyson Fury showed that he got a lot of nuts and guts, as we say in boxing.
Okay. Dante Wilder. Okay, as a kid, 2004, I guess, Olympic, 2008 Olympic bronze medalist out of Mobile, Alabama, or Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Bottom line is 42-1, one draw. Why is he so one-dimensional? Why couldn't they teach him how to fight? And maybe I'm wrong looking at this, but he didn't have a jab. He couldn't throw combinations. He didn't have a right-hand lead for a heavyweight, a big, long right-hand lead. I can keep going. His footwork was terrible. I mean, He had all these fundamental flaws. What were they thinking in that corner when they put him in a fight like that?
Well, you know, he's champion of the world, and you don't come champion by accident. It's well calculated and designed. There's a lot of politics, and you work the politics, and once your politics get in line, what's happening? When the politics get in line that night when it's happening, you have to deliver. And that's what he has done. He's delivered for, what, 9 title defenses did he have?
Going
for his 10th. But his competition wasn't that great, you know. But at the time, the competition wasn't that great. So we always say this, as you know, Pedro, in the boxing world, is that if they put you in the ring with a baby, you better try to knock it out. Because if you let that baby hit you in the wrong spot at the right time, you'll go down and out. Next thing you'll be doing is looking at the finest chandelier in the house.
Okay, now, back to Tyson. We're talking with Aaron Snow, of course, Hall of Fame trainer extraordinaire. Tyson Fury won like 18 rounds. I think they fought 18 rounds or something like that. And Tyson Fury won like all but the 2 rounds in which he was dropping. He might have come close to winning that last round he got dropped in, because he caught up and was putting a licking on Deontay Wilder. What I'm trying to say is, they're clamoring for a third fight. Why would you want to have a third fight when you've lost 16 of 18 rounds?
Ego.
And money.
Yeah, money. Well, not so much the money, it's ego. If you remember, Pedro, when you had me back a while on your show, when they were offering him, the Zone was offering Wilder $100 million. The sign with them when they were pushing that kind of money to him. And if you remember, what I said was he should have grabbed the pen quick, fast, in a hurry, signed the contract, got the deal, because $100 million is $100 million, and it don't all the time come around. See, these guys, a lot of guys, you know, they put their name in outer space, but at sometimes you got to come down to earth and realize where you're at and what's real. $100 million in boxing to sign a contract like that is just, he's not a Mike Tyson. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, or a Muhammad Ali. So when they offer you $100 million, you grab the pen quick, fast, and hurry. And that's what he should have did. Looking behind time. I said it then, I'm going to say it now. You never miss a good thing until it's gone. And you can't cry when you lose. When Mike Tyson got beat in Tokyo, one of the biggest upsets in sports history, not only boxing history, is that you can't cry over the spilt milk. And you can't make excuses to bring them back. You have to realistically look at the cause and effect, the reason why the thing happened the way it happened. And that's the only way you can bring them back. And with a butt-whooping like Dante Wilder got against Tyson Fury, his team is going to have to look at really, truly what happened. And is he willing to learn to fight a better fight and learn the things that he's going to have to do to beat that style that Tyson Fury has?
Okay.
If he's not, you know, the same result's going to happen, but probably happen much quicker.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But I would take a different route with Dante Wilder.
Okay.
You know, if I was there with him, I'd take a totally different route, put him right back in a different position because there's different options that he got. And now when they offered Dante Wilder to fight, the step aside money.
Yeah.
I would have took that money. Come on, man.
Tell
money
him.
For sitting on your can.
Tell him, Aaron. Tell him.
Yeah, you know, the millions of dollars, man, look, to sit home and watch and see, and I got the next one up the bat. The next one up the bat was the undisputed heavyweight championship of the world.
Yep.
Let them two fight for to unify the boxing, which is going to help totally all of boxing out, to have a unified heavyweight champ with two great drawers with fans and pay-per-view with the Anthony Joshua and the Tyson Fury. It's only going to help boxing out. But personally, if I was Dante Wilder, I would say, look, I got one fight. I got step-aside money that I already made. I don't have to fight. I can heal. This pandemic is helping them heal. I would have got paid for sitting on my butt to heal a little more and work on my strategies, my techniques, and what I would have to do, refocus myself, rededicate myself. And then when the fight happened, I said, man, I got a chance now to become undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, the winner. I'd have took that fight and moved on and kept it going if he could beat both of them. One fight for it all.
So,
and, you know, you have to realize something, too, you know, with Dante Wilder. You know, guys that are in the medal rounds and sometimes they fall short of the gold medal or become a bronze medal, things you have to look at. Why didn't he win the gold? Looking back in time, you have to research them things out, what happened during that time period, because with the fight with him and Tyson Fury, it was a now moment for him to move on to bigger and better things, and it didn't happen. Think about that, Pedro.
Good point. And of course, getting that $5 million a step aside. First of all, he turned down the $100 million deal, and they probably would have given him half of that up front. And then if DAZN would have went bankrupt, he would have been able to keep that $50 million and, like, move on. And then, of course, he turned down the step-aside money for this other fight. And so he's not the smartest guy in the world. Mark Breland's in the corner. Mark Breland was a pretty good amateur fighter. I just don't know how good he is as far as running a corner is concerned. I'm not going to criticize him because he was an Olympic gold medalist and a fine young man without a doubt. Now, Mike Tyson's comeback, the age of 52 years old or whatever, you know, is this a smart thing?
Well, it's a smart money thing, you know. And plus, you know, this is what happens to guys when they're sitting around at home and they begin to work out and they start to feel good and, you know, they start skipping rope and hitting the heavy bags and stuff. They say, wow, I feel good.
Mm-hmm.
This feels good. So they want to push it on and on, you know. And once he gets to that point, then he said, well, maybe I can – you know, try to fight somebody. They put a filler out, Mike did. The people are constantly following him. you know, everything he says people pick up on is because Mike Tyson has been one of those type of fighter because of his lifestyle. His life is interesting, and people follow it, you know. And so when it looked like people were saying, yeah, man, did you hear this and that in the rumor mill, and the next thing you know, he's going for it. But I think with him and Roy Jones, it's an ego thing, and it turned into an ego thing about money. I think there was some lying factors somewhere along the way with him and Roy Jones. I think Mike got a piece of that music streaming service, and Roy Jones wasn't had the knowledge of that. And when he found that out, I think he came back to the table and said he wanted more money. And he was saying that his business things with this MMA stuff, that he's promoting other fights and stuff, he would have to readjust his schedule in order to make that September date. But we were saying that on our show is that that December, September date is normally a Latino date. You know, that something that Don King had came up with to promote Latino fighters, such as Julio Cesar Chavez.
Mexican Independence Day.
Right. And Tito Trinidad, you know, fighting someone from Mexico or something like that. It was a big day, and people would come out and show up.
Okay.
So we were wondering, when they announced September, who was going to move off that date. So time passed. We found out that Mike Tyson and them moved it back from the November because they said they were having problems. But guess what? Canelo Alvarez ain't showing up neither with the zone, Pedro.
Good point.
Got money issues.
Good point. Yeah, without a doubt. I got to ask you this. You're a trainer. If Andy Ruiz showed up at 317 pounds to camp like he did for this Joshua rematch, how do you deal with that?
Well, first of all, you have to give people an assessment up front, a physical assessment. You have to really find out where they're at condition-wise. You know, sometimes a weight loss don't mean that you're in condition. It just means that you lost weight. You know what I mean? And you have to find out what kind of realistic condition they're in. Then you draw a plan for the mark date that you got to get them in shape where they can perform at their best for that night.
I think boxing makes so
complex and so and boxing's complex issue.
Okay, I think you're ducking the question.
Has to come together.
I think you're ducking the question. I'm going to ask you. I mean, you got a 320-pound dude that's got a 220-pound body. He's 100 pounds overweight. Do you realistically train him and try to put him into a fight and make it competitive?
Well, hey Pedro, you know, it's business, and there's a lot of money on the line with these guys.
Back to the money.
And a lot of times, yeah, it's back to the money. A lot of times you have to get guys, and pressure's on you as a trainer. You know, that's what you get paid for. You got to, when once his management team and stuff like that comes down, you tell them, blah, blah, blah. They say, nah, we got to make this date, man. We can't lose this date, blah, blah, blah. Then you got to come up with a strategy to make it happen for that place, time, and date. And that's what makes boxing so complex, man, on the top end where the money's at.
Aaron Snow, folks, will talk about his show and more after the break. You're tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Really knocks me out, girl, the clothes that you wear, the style of your hair, the way that you fare. Under all conditions, you're mine all of the time. So wonderful.
How did I get up from the knockdowns? I don't know.
So glad you're mine. You're fabulous, to say the least.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
How does that grab you?
Well, I'll tell you right after I get violently ill.
I remember when I would go to New York City and see Herman. Not Herman Munster, Grandpa Munster, Al Lewis, when he had that restaurant going on. He was sort of cool to go by. He treated everybody like gold, man. Al Lewis was a class act. And for those of you that are old like me and Aaron, we can remember Al Lewis when he was in Car 54 back in the day. Bottom line is you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Aaron, tell me about the show you guys have been doing for a while now.
Well, Pedro, you've been on there a few times because we needed the show lit up like the 4th of July, what you're able to do. But it's the World Boxing Review radio show. It's streamed over Block Talk Radio. And we deal with past, present, and future stars. And we deal with the boxing news, legend tales, and boxing history. And we travel the world and talk about events coming up all over the world. And then we have a guest. We even have kids come on here just starting out because the kids are the future, and it's going to be fun. This is our third year. Matter of fact, tomorrow will be our third year that we had the show going.
Congratulations on that, no doubt about that. So where is it streaming again, once again, and at a certain time, or is it 24/7? What's going on with that?
It's 24/7 online. All you got to do is Google the World Boxing Review radio show or the World Boxing Review. It'll come up. Just click on it.
Okay.
And all the shows are online, and all you got to do is look down the list, and you want to listen to a show, just click on it and you can listen to it.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. Time to put you on the spot here. Somebody from St. Louis. God, I remember. You know what? I remember we did the St. Louis fight with Corey Spinks and Zab Judah, and I told Don King that I was going into East St. Louis to shoot some video. Right? And Don King says to me, you should have heard him. Pedro, you're out of your mind. But he had a cigar in his mouth. He was laughing at me. He goes, you're talking smack now. He goes, but you won't be after you get back. That's what he said to me, right? So I go to East St. Louis. I got a video team with me, a video camera, and a film guy, and I see some mean guys. I say to myself, "This we want to take some pictures of the mean streets of East St. Louis, and these are the guys we're going to take a picture of." He said, "Okay." So I went around the block, and he got the camera ready. So he pulls up. We pull out the camera, and the guy pulls out a gun.
Oh boy!
Exactly. Yeah. That's about as real.
Did you get it on film? Hey, look! You should have used your police tactics. You know, you being a former officer. You should have had one down in your leg or sock back or something.
He wasn't going to shoot anybody. He just wanted, like, hey, blood, what's up, man? You want to play? I mean, the bottom line is I was invading his turf, and I understood that he pulled the gun, but I never expected the mean streets of St. Louis to be that mean. And, of course, Corey Spinks would lose to Zab Judah, and, of course, they had contracted me to do this post-fight special on Corey Spinks winning defending the title. That never happened, so that cost me a bunch of money. But, yeah, that was a good time. Speaking of Don King, do you hear from him anymore? He's not answering my phone calls.
Well, you know, I just talked to him the other day. I think you're going to hear something pretty shortly about what Don's doing, what he has planned.
Okay.
You know, he got some plans. He has Trevor Bryant. You're talking about the heavyweights.
Okay.
Who's the interim WBA heavyweight champion. Don has him. So Don's in the hunt. He's in the hunt. You know, at his age, he's still trying to maneuver, you know, and you got to watch him because Don, he knows how to slip and slide. Next thing you know, he's there.
Okay, so I'm not going to let you slip and slide on this one. Andy Ruiz shows up to camp at 317 pounds, and you have an unlimited training camp. You can train him 9 months. You can train him a year. What weight do you think you would get Andy Ruiz down to and be comfortable with as a trainer if he's weighing 280?
As a trainer, around about 238, something like that. It'd take around about probably 3 months, 3.5 months. If you can put a period of time, you can bring them in. You know, you can lose up to 2 pounds a day, Pedro, and be healthy and perform good. Anything over that, you got trouble. But at two pounds a day, and you got to do a lot of cardiovascular work, because cardiovascular work is what burns that fat.
Mm-hmm.
It burns it and tightens it up.
Okay.
And cardiovascular work and speed is hard work, man.
Yeah.
It's tough work. And Pedro, what makes guys the hardest time for a champion to fight is when he got a pocket full of money.
Money, yep.
When them guys are hungry and they don't have, or they do have, and the cash flow's a little low, and they got to get a new pile of cash, you get the best results out of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I wanted to say this when you're talking about St. Louis. You know, Teron Millett is somebody I trained when he got the belt. Teron Millett is from St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a gangbanger, man. And he got shot in the stomach in St. Louis. Nobody thought he was going to live. And he had the bullets in him and had the wound in the stomach. And he healed, and we bring him back, and he ended up being champion. Ain't that a story to tell?
That is a story. And speaking of Don King, when I came back and told him the story about East St. Louis, right, he couldn't stop laughing. He almost puked up his coffee. I'm kidding you not, because I was, Don, they pulled out a gun. I told you. Anyway, what did I go to East St. Louis for? Are you ready for this?
What's that?
Pimp socks. Do you know what they are?
The things that go around your leg that you hooked on.
No. The nylon socks with the different, the black nylon socks with stripes going up the side. Sometimes the stripes. That's what I went to East St. Louis for, man. Pimp socks, I kid you not. And I also bought like an old gangster type of leather coat that you couldn't get nowhere else, because East St. Louis has not left the 70s.
No. And you talking about the 70s, the pimp style. Remember the Larry Holmes and Don King with the big white mink cowboy hat on, and the long white mink to the ground, and him and Larry Holmes walking down the street, you know, doing the pimp walk. You know, that was something for the heavyweight division to look back on. But
you know, Aaron.
Don King, look, you know what all of these guys are finding out during this time, Pedro, is that Don King was masterful at the cutting, the art of the deal, and having fighters live up to those agreements, and bringing them back. You know, at this time, you got Canelo Alvarez demanding, you know, he signed a contract for $380 million. And no sooner the pandemic came, he was ready to fight. The fight got canceled. Now this September. It's not looking like he's going to fight at all this year. And for a network, man, that's big time for DAZN to put up that kind of money. And he's not going to be able to climb in the ring.
No, what's a crime is me paying $20 a month to DAZN and not getting any fights. That's a crime. Anyway, let me go back to Don King for a second. let me go back to Don King for a second. You know,
I run
into people all the time, and they know I know Don King, and they always want to hear some crap about Don King. Blah blah blah. Always some. I don't have anything bad to say about Don King. All of his interactions with me, I mean, a couple of times he was firm with me, and no doubt about it, because I was an employee. But when I worked for him, I did the television for him for King Vision. He took me around the world. He treated me first class. One time he flew me a first class ticket. I think we were going to Miami, and it was a $2,000, like almost a $2,000 ticket. So, you know, Pedro being slick decided he was going to cash in the first class ticket and buy a coach ticket instead and keep the money, right? So Don found out about it, and you think Don dogged me for it? No, he didn't, but he said, MF, if you're late, you're fired. In other words, and he admired the fact that I was smooth enough, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I put another $1,200 in my pocket. You know what I'm saying?
But he respects the hustle because he knows at one time when he didn't have, he had to hustle to get where he's at. So, you know, he has a lot of respect for that. But I like to see what Don King, because he got something in the race.
Okay.
If once he gets to the bigger ticket at this time, if Brian could get him to that big ticket with Anthony Joshua or Tyson Fury, I want to see if Brian can make it there, what would happen with a Don King negotiating with back with Eddie Hearns, which is Barry Hearns' son, who Don did business with before,
mm-hmm.
or Frank Warren.
Yeah.
When Don was doing business with Frank Warren, and how now with him with Bryant on the lower end, how he's going to deal with those guys. And I think he outfox him and outdeal him is because he's going to bring so much to the table now because he's been laying back looking on the outside. It's a difference. You know, that's why my view has changed a whole lot. When you're on the outside looking in, you can see things a lot more clear than when you're in the race and in the jogging all the time. Sometimes it gets cloudy and fall and very narrow. Now my scope and spectrum is wide open, and talking to Don and the things that he's saying, boy, at his age, man, his mind is still sharp, and he's just has so much. And I hope that that happens for him because he's been so much in the credit to the game of boxing. Okay. I think more money will come if they can go to the market and get $1 billion. Don King will get astronomical money.
Well, you know, before I let you go, I will say this:
he has the content. Like you said, you had trouble paying the $20 because the programming wasn't right. Don King got the legendary boxing history from the 70s up to the day. You name them, Oscar De La Hoya, Mike Tyson, Roy Jones. He has all of that stuff in the can for programming, man. No, let me tell you what.
Aaron.
It would go off the chain, man.
Aaron, I know he's got all that stuff in the can. You know why? Because he said I was going to do it for him, and he didn't renege him. But the bottom line is, when I was working for him, one time he came to me, he said, Pedro, you got a nanny for you? You got somebody to take care of your child? Because he knew I brought my daughter to Las Vegas. I mean, here's a dude, a billionaire, you know what I'm saying, checking out his second-rate TV, because we were the second TV team, we're the King Vision TV team. Of course, HBO was doing the original broadcast, we were doing the international broadcast. But here he is, a billionaire, got a billion things to think of, and he's wondering whether or not I got a nanny for my kid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way he was. But I think something's coming down the pike, Pedro, and it's going to ruffle your feathers, and I think you're going to be right in line. So I think, man, what you should try to do, get a suit, get a tie, and, you know, look dapper as you always look on air, because I've been on air with you, and you do such a great job, man. I think it's going to happen, man.
No doubt about it. I miss you, Aaron Snow. Say hello to the family and stay safe.
All right, thank you so much, man. Tell the crew there, man. We love them, man, and happy holidays and enjoy yourself.
The great Aaron Snow on Sports Byline.
Well, you have to talk to my lawyer on that one.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
But he has a shock in store for him. He has two great chances, Slim and none, and Slim's out of town.
Aris Landy Lara was a winner Friday night. Defended the WBA 154-pound strap. What can I say? I'm not all that impressed with him. He's a Cuban fighter. He's only lost a few fights. Of course, I thought he got maybe got burned in that fight with Canelo. It was very close, but straight up, not the most appealing fighter in the entire world. Now, on Fox TV later in the day from L.A., Yordi Ugas is going to take on Abel Ramos for the WBA welterweight title. I keep thinking that Errol Spence is a WBA welterweight champion. How can they have 19 champions? Well, the WBA can. The world of Bunko and Anarchy, they can do that. Anyway, suppose they got the two WBA title fights on this card. Check out your Fox TV guide tonight, September the 6th, as far as the schedule is concerned. Now, the 12th ESPN Plus coming back. The best app going with a couple of guys. Well, I'll tell you what. Egidius Kavalakousis, we'll put it like that for the first name, versus Mikhail Zuski. That is an ESPN Plus main event for September 12th. The 19th, Jose Pedraza is going to take on Javier Molina. September 19th, Showtime going to come back with Erickson Luban taking on Terrell Goshen, a WBC super welterweight eliminator, and of course there's a WBC title fight on that card as well. But the 26th of September, circle this date on your calendar. This is a fight worth watching. Why? I think we have one of the most talented fighters in the entire world going that day. I'm talking about undefeated 140-pound title holder Josh Taylor of the UK. This guy can rock. The WBA and IBF champion, he can really, really fight. I think he's the guy at 140. We'll see what happens. He's taking on a guy by the name of Apuan Kongsong. So, Mr. Kongsong, the very best of luck to you, but I think you're going to get lit up like a White House Christmas tree. In fact, I don't think Slim and none. Slim already left town for Agapan. Bottom line is Josh Taylor in a world of his own, I think, at 140. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, September 26th. Jermell Charlo coming back in the defense of the WBC middleweight title, along with his brother Jamal Charlo, defending the junior middleweight title. So the bottom line is the Charlo, September 26th on pay-per-view. Will you pay it? I won't. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Saturdays and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on these same stations. Of course, our podcasts are at anchor.com. Ring Talk Live Worldwide podcasts are at anchor.com.